Grace, mercy, and peace, these blessings, and so many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning are the first few verses of our New Testament lesson, Hebrews chapter 12. My dear fellow winners of the race that God himself has marked out for us. Some years ago, I met a young man from a God-fearing family, a very personable, gifted young man who struggled to fit in. In fact, I would say that he was hated by most of his siblings. His first career was not the career of his choice, but he still had great success, was promoted until he lost his job and was accused of a crime he didn't commit and served some time in prison. What always impressed me about that man, every time I heard anything he had to say, was I never heard him complain. I never heard him say, "Why is this my lot in life, God? Life's not fair." And in fact, he seemed to harbor no bitterness for those who had wronged him. Most of you have met this young man as well. I met him for the first time 50-some years ago in a Lutheran grade school classroom in Genesis chapter 30. The man's name is Joseph. And Joseph is just one of the heroes of faith that we heard about last week in Pastor Wardell's sermon from Hebrews chapter 11. Our text this morning is from Hebrews 12, and along with Joseph and many of those other heroes of faith, we will find the inspiration and the example as we run our own race. Our theme this morning is Christian, keep on running. First of all, run looking at the past. If you're a track coach, you would never tell your runners, run looking over your shoulder, but for this race, God says, keep on running, looking at the past. In our text, the writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." If you know Hebrews 11 or you're here last week, you know who this is referring to. It's Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David and Rahab and so many others. And the writer doesn't bring up this long list of heroes from the Old Testament to embarrass or to shame those first century Hebrew Christians. But he does it to provide them with an example of people who could stand up in what seemed to be at times the worst of circumstances and still run that race that God had marked out for them. He was trying to remind those first century Christians, those heroes of faith aren't just some characters in a best-selling story, but they were real people, godly people, who faced the same real-life situations that you first-century Christians are facing today. And I think what's good for us to remember, as would have been good for those first-century Christians to remember, is that those Old Testament heroes of faith, they ran with a lot less clarity of vision than you and I run with today. What do I mean? Well, Noah started building that ark at the command of God. It was quite some time before it started raining. Joseph was ripped away from his family by his family and dropped into a foreign country as a slave. Moses, at the age of 80, was asked to make a third career change and then lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, you and I, with the gift of thousands of years of hindsight, can look back and we know how all of that turned out. So there was a flood and Noah and his family were saved. Joseph ends up as the second most powerful man in Egypt, and God used him to save the line of the Savior. And Moses not only leads the people out of Egypt, but then also leads them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to the very banks of the Promised Land. But they didn't know that when it happened and as it happened and as they ran that race. The very first word that the writer starts with in our text is the word therefore. Therefore, consequently, as a result of all of those people I just told you about in chapter 11, now look at what you are going to do. Therefore, since they could bear up under the weight of their race, so can you. Now, what does that mean for us today? What did all of those Old Testament heroes of faith have in common? Struggle. They struggled against enemies from the outside who attack them, attack God's word, and attack the faith that God had planted in them through that word. They struggled against family members who rejected them, and some who rejected the promise of the Savior. And then their greatest struggle is a familiar struggle. Their greatest struggle was against their own sinful nature. Sins of drunkenness and pride and adultery and doubt. The same struggles that we have today. And yet, the writer of the Hebrews says, therefore, as you look back at those Old Testament heroes of faith, therefore now run your race, looking back at them for encouragement. What promise did God break to Noah or Abraham or Jacob or Joseph? None at all. For the first century Christians, they needed that reminder, and we need that reminder today. Because whether it's looking at our lives or their lives, we might ask, but is it worth it? So was it worth it for Joseph, dropped into that foreign country, friendless and without any hope for the future? Was it worth it for Moses as he led a very obstinate, stubborn people out of Egypt, and then for 40 years listened to their complaining about his leadership skills? We can let the Apostle Paul answer that when he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What does this great cloud of witnesses offer to us in 2022? Well, here's one example. If God could take care of a 17-year-old hundreds of miles away from home in a foreign country, then God can take care of your son or daughter as you drive them off to college, or as you drop them off for high school, or as they walk into Mount Olive for their first day of preschool. If God could deliver David from the hand of a giant and the jaw of a lion, then God can deliver you no matter what those around you say about you and your Christian faith. Such a long list of heroes of faith, but you have your own list of heroes of faith. And as I listened to the faculty sing between the readings, I couldn't help but think of some of my heroes of faith who are named Mrs. Arndt and Miss Huebner and Mr. Canise and Mrs. Sackenheim. As you begin another school year, think of the gospel acclamation that we sang, that you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I know what many of you, because I know you relatively well, would say, but Pastor Wenzel, don't put me with Joseph and Jacob and Abraham, because I'm not a hero. Do you think that King David knelt by a pond and looked at his reflection and said, now there's a hero? Or Joseph? Or Noah? It doesn't matter how you see yourself, but God uses you as you share his word to prepare others to run the race that's marked out for them. In that hymn that we sang, Afflicted Saint, God shall supply all that you need, yes, as your days, your strength shall be. What great comfort for our faculty, and what great comfort for all of us. Heroes of faith from our own families. Those of us that remember parents or grandparents who lived through the Great Depression, or a war, or the stress of a Cold War, or grandparents or great-grandparents who faced violent persecution because they spoke German and not English. The friends and relatives that you have that have been ravaged by cancer, and how they stand up under those tests of faith as they run their race. So yes, Christian, keep on running your race, looking at the past, but then also run looking at today. In our text, the writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That word race comes from a Greek word, agona. And you don't have to know Greek to look at that word and listen to that word and recognize an English word that we take from that. The word agony, probably a little fuller translation, run the agony, the agonizing race, the conflict, the fight, the wrestling match laid out in front of you. And where did this stressful wrestling match race come from? The race marked out for us by God himself. Remember that 3,800 years ago, God did not look down from heaven and say, Joseph, what are you doing in prison? You did the right thing. You said no to Potiphar's wife. What are you going to do now? 400 years later, he didn't look down at Moses and say, Moses, do you realize there's this big body of water in front of you? There's this Egyptian army behind you. How did you get yourself in this position? What are you going to do now? God knew exactly where they were, and God knew exactly how he had used those situations to work everything out for their good and the good of those who loved him. That is God's promise in this race that's marked out for us. The race wasn't easy, but they didn't run it alone. And we know they succeeded, and we get that, but then how do we apply that to ourselves? That's the question that troubles us as we run the race God has marked out for us. What is God's advice? God says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so that easily entangles. Throw off everything that hinders. How many times when you're running your race, you've been blindsided by something you never saw coming? Too many times for me to count. God says, throw off everything that hinders. I wonder if we actually might be at a disadvantage living in America. How could that be? Because we're so blessed. But I wonder if it shocks us when we run a race and run into obstacles. Because after all, we are living in America. Russian shells landing on schools and hospitals and churches, that doesn't happen in America. Violence against Christians, that happens in Africa or South America. That doesn't happen in America. And so then when we face struggles, we're shocked and wonder, how in the world can that happen in the United States of America? Pandemics, that happens in Africa, Malawi, not in America. Everything that we face and we struggle with, violence on the West Coast, in the Midwest, on the steps of and inside our nation's capital, maybe coups in South America, but in America, how can that happen here? God never promised that the race that American Christians run is somehow going to be less stressful or less challenging than those of Christians in other countries. And then if we get past the fact that, yes, we do have challenges here, then we still have the battle against our own sinful nature. So then what do we need to do? Paul says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. What is the sin that so easily entangles you? It's for a private conversation between you and God. That's a conversation you had about 15 minutes ago after we confessed our sins and you took your own sins to God. That's a conversation you have with God before you close your eyes at night. But then as you bring those sins to God, don't just say, God, here are my sins, but then also remember that God is there to help you battle those sins. The Apostle Paul says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. With God's help, you can overcome those sins, and the outcome of your race is guaranteed. Finally, the writer would say, Christian, keep on running, looking at the past, looking at today, and then most importantly, run looking at Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Literally, look away from everything else and look only at Jesus. At Jesus, the author and perfecter, the pioneer and the finisher of your faith. Only at Jesus, not the roller coaster of your faith, because the roller coaster of your faith will deceive you, but the source of that faith, Jesus, never changes. And perhaps then it's another challenge for us living in America. Where do you find your greatest security? Is it in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom of religion, Second Amendment, the right to bear arms? All wonderful blessings. But you can search all four Gospels and never will you hear this, that Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace but division. I've come to bring a sword, except for Americans. Americans, you just live a life of liberty and the pursuit of happiness. God doesn't promise us that. God promises you and me just the opposite, division, the hatred of others, the rejection of others, and a life filled with obstacles as we run this race, obstacles of the making of others and of our own doing. But then perhaps the most beautiful comfort in this text, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him. As Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, where our gospel lessons are, as he marched into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and made arrangements for that upper room and walked out to Gethsemane and was arrested by an angry mob and stands in front of kangaroo court after court, and then is tortured by Pilate, what was the joy set before him? His resurrection and ascension, but before that, there was still the cross, the shame of the cross, the most agonizing death in the history of mankind. The joy set before him was the finish line, but not the finish line for him, but that what he would do guarantees your finish line. The joy set before him, that's you. That's me. You are Jesus' joy and delight. So what does your finish line look like? Where is it? When is it? Most of us do not know. But only because of the certain promises of God, I know this with absolute certainty about your finish line. Standing at your finish line is Jesus himself. Because Jesus ran this race before you, he ran your race for you, and Jesus is waiting for you. So Christian, keep on running your race, and always, always run to Jesus. Amen. Please rise.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.